I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a fall evening outside. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is my go-to. They've got everything. Whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoints. Cigars International is the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International also offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping, their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. They got great relationships with their vendors that help provide great low prices. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International's make it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. It's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they are giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That is CigarsInternational.com and use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout for 20% off $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want to explore something new, Cigars International has you covered.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Week 9 College Football Prediction Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. My God, we've got a banger of a week of college football here, and could not be more excited. I want to give you a quick update here, some breaking news. Our little friends at Indiana, guys, University of Indiana, their quarterback, Curtis Rourke, just had thumb surgery, unsure what the timetable is for him to return. They said the prognosis has improved, but if he's out, it's not going to be great. Let's see what their schedule is. They got Michigan State.
Prognosis negative. Remember that?
No.
It was a fake movie on Seinfeld.
No, that's
that everybody wanted to go see.
No, I'm all done with Seinfeld. No. I watched it in real time, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. It wasn't that good then, to be honest. What's happening? Oh, I'm not wearing headphones.
You need to wear the headphones.
Okay? I don't. No.
Yeah, sure. If you're going to drop a 30-year-old reference of Seinfeld on this show, then you got to hear the goddamn theme song.
That's actually not the oldest reference I plan on dropping.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Who do they got? They got Michigan State. they got a game against Washington on Saturday.
That's a layup.
Both of these teams should be layups right now. So, yeah. They're just saying that he's out indefinitely after injuring his thumb in a blowout win. A lot of fucking injuries, man, in football this year. We'll get into that on the NFL show. My God, man. Last night was gruesome. Absolutely fucking gruesome, dude. I felt horrific for Godwin last night.
Man, that was a bad injury. Godwin or Evans?
Godwin went. So Evans went down with a hamstring injury that was a real one, not like a bullshit Jackson Smith and Jigma one.
Yeah.
This was like a real one where, like, oh shit, that guy's going to be out like probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then Godwin broke his leg in half. That was so awful that they cut away. Shout out to ESPN and Joe Buck Naked, who I don't like, but even he was just like, I told the production team that it wasn't necessary to show this again. So good on him, but well, he is out for the season.
What's his name? Watson from the Chiefs had a tip fib as well.
Gone
on Sunday night.
He's gone for the year.
Sunday afternoon, whatever.
But college football, luckily we don't have Oh, fuck you, dude. Ohio State just lost our left tackle for the rest of the goddamn year. Josh Simmons. Fuck. Left knee injury. Shit. He got hurt in the first half of Oregon. Remember the card they got him out of there?
No.
He's out for the year. Son of a bitch, man. He was... Fuck. He's the number 25 overall pick in the draft, for Christ's sakes. God damn it, man. That's not great. That's not great for sure. Shit, that just broke right now. Hunter's feeling much better, and he says that he plans to play, at least according to his buddy Deion Sanders. So we'll see.
Are they about friends?
That. I think so.
Because one of them is supposed to be in charge of the other.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're homies now.
That's usually how that works.
When you're making $10 million a year, yeah, you're homies now. You know, I don't think it's a father-son mentorship anymore when you're making that much money. You're a grown man who's a fucking multimillionaire. So, yeah, it's probably beyond that. And then, Bob, I know you're a big SMU guy. They lost their tight end against Maryland. And now he's out for the remainder of the season.
Doesn't
Does
matter.
That change your mind on SMU?
Ponies keep riding.
Sure do. Sure do.
I think they're going to get swept up in a hurricane or mauled by tigers. It's not going to be SMU.
Yeah, and then
you know why? Because of, and it has nothing to do, well, it does to some degree, the pedigree of those two teams, and they've got better talent probably, but also the ACC seems, it's very clear they're bent on making sure that Miami and Clemson rise to the top this year.
Yeah, and then shit, man, another one here that just broke. Keon Saab, superstar sophomore for Alabama, fourth leading tackler over there, is out for the year as well with a broken foot, man. There's a lot of fucking injuries. Jesus Christ, man. Wild. All right, kids. You know the rules here. We'll go over last week's hits and misses before we get to this week's banger of a college football lineup, including a rare Thursday night treat that I'm super amped about.
We're in the middle of 55 consecutive days of football. I don't know how far into it. I think we're like maybe 10 days into it, so enjoy it while it lasts, because 2 weeks, there's an election, and by the time this 55-day run ends, we may be in a civil war. So, just enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how we're going to do it intra-office, though. Are we going to have to fight the Libby boys, or what? How does it work? Like, how are we dividing up the office politically? Exactly. Because it isn't right and left anymore. Those don't exist.
Right.
Repub and Democrat, that's not a thing anymore. So how are we dividing this up?
We got to build a wall.
Yeah, we'll build a wall between you guys and us, and that's
well.
It.
I mean, that technically we've got a desk there already. Do we just
no build a real fucking wall?
Do we just build it higher?
No, we'll just build an actual wall.
Yeah, like, sort of like a barricade in the streets and like Les Mis, just a bunch of garbage or like
no, I was thinking like a barricade.
I want a fucking full goddamn brick wall that goes all the way up to the ceiling.
You know, I've been lobbying for years to build a wall between the Earth and the Moon to keep out space Mexicans, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could just do that right here.
We can do that here if we want to.
Now, that has nothing to do with college football, obviously.
It sure doesn't, but we'll talk about it on Drinking Bros after this on Patreon. Podcast is on Patreon all week, all of them.
Big so games. Enjoy it.
Big games this week. Yes, big games this week. We'll go through last week's hits and misses. We'll start with Oregon versus Purdue. Blowout, 35-0. Purdue is just a shell of itself, man. This used to be a fucking program that was hard to beat, man. Remember Cancer Kid and all that stuff? And yeah, they were pulling out
some and they had some old lady, right?
No.
I thought there was like a nun.
No, that's no. Sister Jean.
That's Sister Jean.
That's from, Loyola.
Loyola Marymount. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Chicago.
Or Chicago Loyola, yeah. There's a bunch of Loyolas out there. Friday night game was a banger. BYU ends up pulling it out.
Wait, say Loyola the same way that Ed Orgeron would say it.
Loyola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not a real word then.
No, probably not.
That's how I test. If something's a real word, if I'm going to allow a word to come into regular usage in my life, I say it in Ed Orgeron's voice first. Mm-hmm. And if it's unintelligible, I'm done with it.
You're all finished with that word. BYU continues to roll. Beat Oklahoma State on Friday night. It was actually a really fucking fun game. Dude.
It was probably great. A little bit closer than it should have been. Oklahoma State got a little pressure on the quarterback for BYU. Which is odd, I guess, because these are just two offenses that don't play a whole lot of defense, obviously, by the score. But BYU going to UCF this week.
Ollie Gordon finally had a good game in this one. Yeah, they're going to UCF, and it's a 2-point spread. We'll get to after this.
It's a pick'em now.
What? Why?
Yeah. I guess just Orlando people are betting everything they have. after the storm, they're like, hey, we got to recover somehow, brother. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. We'll address that in 10 minutes.
We fucking hate our team.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I don't know what's happening.
You bet on them to win the fucking Big 12 championship.
I did. There was a path.
There was no path.
There was a path.
There's never a path for you guys. Like, there's never a path.
The Big 12 sucks.
Yeah, the Big 12 does suck.
Man.
I thought we were better than we are.
And I know. That's everybody's hopes and dreams before the season starts.
They have a great running back. They have a top five running back in the nation.
He's good. For sure.
It's not enough.
Yeah, you need the rest of the team and a coach and all that other stuff. NIL, everything else. Next up was Georgia, Texas. Okay, so again, I've said this ad nauseum on the show. I'm like the only person who watches local news. They did a legit serious story on like fans throwing stuff on the field and how they're going to go through the footage and ban them and everything else. And you shouldn't do that here in Austin. We're not those type of people. Yeah, Longhorns fans are those type of people. I was at that game. I had zero problem with it. It was the worst call I've ever seen in my life. If that stands, which it didn't, if I was at the Ohio State game and that happened there, I'm throwing everything I have on the field. I'm throwing my fucking wife on the field. I'm so pissed off. It was an awful call. I don't give a shit that they threw shit on the field. I don't care. They should have. That was the worst call I've ever seen. It got overturned. Texas did not look great at all.
Mm.
Don't know how this is going to shake out. Georgia moved up to number two. I didn't think Georgia looked that great either. That's
They got beat in the trenches. I think there is something about, I think it's probably more the conference realignment and having to play. So think about a 2016 Alabama schedule. They're going to catch LSU, maybe Tennessee, maybe Georgia.
No, not maybe Tennessee. Tennessee was their permanent rival.
Okay, so yeah. Definitely Tennessee, definitely LSU, maybe Georgia. So they might have three challenging games throughout the entire season.
Yeah, frankly, then they were playing like Furman
Northern Alabama and shit like that. And then every now and again, they would also have like Auburn might be good and would be on the road, so that's a tough game for them as well. But for the most part, they would have six or seven games in their schedule that are basically layups. SEC teams now, find me an SEC team that's not playing four or five, maybe six tough-ass games now.
I agree.
And right? Then, so you have the best conference with the best teams, and then they're fucking we should have seen that coming.
They
got to play each other every week.
We did. So before the season started, if you remember in the pre-prediction show, I said, where does an Oklahoma land in a situation like this? We said there would be probably 6-6 in the SEC in Oklahoma, and that's exactly what's happening to them. So, like, Texas has the money and the resources to compete with the Alabamas and the Tennessees of the conference. But
the other guys don't,
They do not.
But OU does. OU has the money, but they don't have a good coach right now.
Yeah, they're incompetent. I mean,
I don't know that they have it.
Dude, OU has been dicking Texas down for the last 20 years until the last two.
Yeah, I think they won, like, what was it?
When's the last time OU won a national championship?
I think they won 12 out of 20. They haven't won a title in a while.
They won a title. Neither has Texas, though. Texas hasn't won since 2005, and OU hasn't won since 2000. OU has been to a natty, not more recently, but right the year before Texas.
They got crushed, right? 08, 09.
Yeah, they were there with what's his face?
They went against Tebow.
Yeah, but the Native American dude.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
But in the Big 12, OU has way more Big 12 championships. OU leads that series in the Big 12 era, I'm pretty sure, certainly in the 21st century. Like, OU has been the better program in the 21st century than Texas.
When's the last time OU was good?
3 years ago? I mean, they made the playoff three times.
I mean, Baker probably should have beaten Georgia. He took
the last
two or three
Baker
touchdown
Mayfield, what year was that?
That was 16-17. That was the last time they were truly a threat to win a national championship.
Okay, so you're looking at 9 years at this point? Like, it's rough. And one of my best friends, diehard Oklahoma, went there, all that other shit. And like, yeah, he's ready to kill himself.
They were good with Caleb.
Caleb.
His freshman year. Yeah.
Williams. Yeah. And then he transferred with Lincoln, right? Man, it's rough sledding over there in the SEC, boys, and it's going to get worse.
So they've had 15 matchups, obviously, since 2010, including 2010. And Oklahoma's won 11.
Shit.
Of those games. They're 11-4 against Texas in the last 15 years.
I was unaware
of that. Telling you, Oklahoma's better. But as far as the SEC goes, it always has been brutal because even when a team like Auburn is fucking mid, they still have like a top 15 recruiting class almost every... I mean, like, I think Missouri a couple years ago it was like 2 years ago on our Drinkwits. We were like all hyped. We're like, fuck yeah, dude. We got the number like 14 recruiting class in the country. That's sick. We were like 11th in the SEC.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry. 16 games, 11-5 against Texas since 2010.
So,
I mean, that's domination. That's 2/3 of the wins.
Oh, yeah. And same with Ohio Ohio State, Michigan. Yeah. Like, we think of the last 3 years with the Connor Stallions bullshit, but until then,
it was seven like in a row.
20 fucking out of the last 21 games. Yeah. Like, it was nuts. Let me ask you this, Bob. Do you wish Missouri just would have stayed in the Big 12 so you could win?
No.
But you would get into the playoffs every year if you stayed.
It's not true. We wouldn't be getting as good of recruits. I mean, it's you kind of rise to the level of your conference to an extent.
Look at Vanderbilt. Right? Would Vanderbilt leave? Like, right? Maybe this is a one-year blip, right? But if 2 or 3 years from now, Vanderbilt is still once or twice a year like chipping off a top 10 team, then they made the right decision by sticking around and being in the SEC. And I think the same is probably true for Missouri.
Yeah.
Now, Missouri came in and they were immediately competitive in the SEC. They weren't like Oklahoma, right? They were immediately competitive. They were in the first 2 years. They were in the goddamn title game, right?
I want to say we have...
Or was it two of the first 3 years or something like that?
Two of the first 3 years. I want to say we have the third most 11-win seasons in the SEC since we joined the SEC.
That makes sense because of how up and down LSU especially has been.
Yeah, they yo-yo a lot.
Yeah, Georgia and Alabama have been pretty consistent, but...
We've literally been to the SEC championship game more than half the conference.
Mm.
So, like...
Interesting.
It is what it is. And now, do I think, like... I mean, look, there's a fucking concrete ceiling above Missouri that would take literal magic to break through. But for sure, I'm totally realistic about that. But like, what I would do is, would I snap my fingers and make everything back like it was in like 2007 again, right? Where like the Pac-12 makes sense and the Big 12 makes sense and the SEC makes sense and the Big 10 makes sense and the Big East exists. Yeah, I would probably do that because I think that was just more fun. But no, I don't want Missouri anywhere but the SEC because
Is it more fun though? Like, so this year is a bit of a transition, but if this is the pattern that sticks that we get used to over time, man, this is the most exciting year of college football that I can remember.
Yeah.
Like the only alternative is having one, two, or three clear Heisman front runners on undefeated teams that you know aren't going to even see each other until the playoff time frame. Right?
I care less about the Heisman Trophy. I care more about the week to week matchups.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can go either way. It's either like seeing the dominance of Burrow that year was captivating. Holy shit! And even Jaden Daniels last year, like the fucking numbers these assholes are putting up is mind blowing. Or mind blowing rather. But I agree with you. I think going into every single week where there's a game, a top 10 game that I don't know who's going to win. I don't remember ever having that in college football before.
And somebody said on another show yesterday that it feels like every week we have the game of the century of the week again, and you're going to have a top 5 matchup again. That does not happen if the Big 10 doesn't expand and eat up the Pac-12, and if the SEC doesn't expand and eat up the Big 12.
Yeah. And to Bob's point,
you don't get these matchups.
To Bob's point, having that Big 10 or SEC badge on your uniform means something to recruits now because that's the NFL.
What's the standard?
Like, it's the difference. Yeah. It is the difference between, you know, the NFL and the fucking CFL.
And now that the Big Ten and the SEC have agreed to play each other every year in like a classic series between the conferences, like, it's going to get even better next year. Like, fucking A, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Next up, Miami still survives. Jesus Christ, man, this team won't fucking die. I just get them off my screen. Get them out of my face. They've already lost twice. Should have been 3 times this year in this fucking game. They will not die. This is why you back up the truck for Cam Ward, because he did it again. And it's a real toss-up, man. If Miami ends up getting a bye in the playoffs, I don't know how you don't put him ahead of Genty.
This game was not as close as it looked. They were up 2 scores the whole game.
Yeah, those two, they would have... No, the 2 scores at the end by Louisville, that
but look
was
at the
allowed.
Quarterly scores, 10-7, 14-10, 14-14, 14-14.
Miami couldn't get stopped. Like, Louisville had no answer for their offense.
Yeah.
When your final Miami score, but when your final score is 52-45, no one could stop anyone. Mm. Like, that's 96 points in a game, 97 points in one college
football. I'm telling you,
game.
I watched this. It was not that close.
97 points. 97. I mean, that almost outscored the WNBA championship last night.
It might have.
I'm not kidding.
That was 2 days ago, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was in the 60s, right? I mean, you're very close.
Did anybody notice?
No, because
that there was
Caitlin Clark wasn't playing.
Did you know? Because there, it was a contentious game that came down to the wire with some
went to overtime.
Some bad refereeing, and still I didn't even notice.
Nope.
Until somebody posted a meme about it on Twitter, and I scrolled right past it.
Or anytime
nobody fucking cares. By the way, they're threatening to go on strike now.
They are going.
They lost $40 million.
fuck.
Anytime
here.
You log into the ESPN app, it just like shoves it right. Oh my
god. Yeah, it's front and center. Well, because they bought it, so they own it now. The other part too is game on. If it was Caitlin Clark, I would have watched every single second of it. The ratings would have been through the roof. Once she was out of the playoffs, I did not care anymore. Next up is Alabama, Tennessee. Whew, rough sledding for Alabama this year. Are they out of it?
No.
Yes.
Nope. Yep.
Who do they have the rest of the year?
I don't think anybody in the SEC at that top level is out of it until they lose three games. That's what I think. In conference.
Okay, so let me read off the rest of their schedule. Mm-hmm. Missouri on Saturday.
Just got to beat Mizzou and they're right back in it.
Mm-hmm. No. I think they've got to win the game after LSU. LSU is 8.
Oh yeah,
That's a big game.
If they go Missouri, LSU, yeah, they're in the mix.
They got Mercer after that. Watch out for Mercer.
Yeah,
and then Oklahoma. That is at Oklahoma, and then Auburn to close it out, which is still a rivalry game. Not an easy schedule. I think Bama's got one more loss here.
Maybe
I don't think it's Mizzou, but at that LSU game at LSU at night is going to be rough.
If they lose another one, then obviously they're out then. But if they beat top 25 Missouri and then top 10 LSU, they're right back in it.
Yep.
They'll be in the top 12. And as long if you get into the top 10, you're safe. If you're 11 or 12, who knows because of the auto bids from the shit conferences or whatever. But if you're top 10, you're probably going to make it. So, yeah, they can absolutely make the playoff. And they could win. They could win, too.
I don't think they can win, but they can make
a
playoff.
We still don't know who this team is. They're still a team in transition, right? And it's a long season. A lot of shit changes throughout the season.
Here's the weird thing. The coach is we don't know about. The team we do, it's the same fucking team from last year. They're just older.
Well, we don't know if he's going to be able to, is he going to be a good coach or a great coach, right? Is he going to be able to map his system onto Alabama over the next 2 or 3 years and have success? Then he's a good coach, right? Is he a great coach? Can he fucking blend his system with the talent that he has on every single roster and make that successful? That's a great coach. I don't know if he's a great coach yet.
Yeah,
he's been in the Pac-12 with air raid offenses his whole career, right?
Milroe, 25 for 45 there. Yeah. I said this all year. It's the last 2 years. Make him throw the ball and you'll win. Tennessee won. Next up, LSU beat Arkansas. I was actually shocked by this. I picked Arkansas on this one to cover. That's a tough place to play. So this is a really good win for LSU. LSU has snuck right back in there somehow.
Yeah,
I wrote them off after week one.
LSU's been pretty fortunate to be able to claw their way back against teams that don't have electric offenses because it's their defense is a problem, right?
Ole Miss,
they were able to fucking apply some pressure and held them to 26 points, which against Ole Miss is a pretty fucking good defensive outing,
yeah,
to be honest.
For sure.
But all the rest of these teams, like they gave up 33 to South Carolina. That was a lucky win. They've been very fortunate to not get exposed. I think this week at A&M, we'll get into it later, but they might be fucked this
week. Well, you got A&M, you got Alabama after that.
Yeah.
Florida, it's at the Swamp.
Alabama's definitely rooting for LSU against A&M. They need LSU to be top 10 when they play them. Otherwise, their season is over.
Yeah, at the Swamp is not easy. Then they got Vandy, and then they got Oklahoma. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I mean, they could lose any of those games, to be honest, which is odd to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could. We'll see how it goes.
But they've snuck back in there. Next up, was that Iowa State versus UCF? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened in that game?
Well, I mean, UCF, Harvey fucking ran for 200 fucking yards.
Kind of fucking blew it. Yeah, could run at will. Lord. Ja'Kari Brown threw for like 48 yards, so our quarterback. We benched KJ Jefferson, but he's chill, I guess, about it. He's just kind of hanging out and cheering on Ja'Kari. Gus, he'll do this every now and then. He seems to be retired in Orlando for the UCF job, but every now and then he'll scheme up a game plan to knock someone off. Iowa State's not very good. We picked them off. We should have had two pick sixes. Mm. One of them, the guy dropped it at the 1 yard line, did the Deshaun Jackson, but thankfully no one recovered it. So RJ Harvey, the next play on the 1 yard line, scored a touchdown.
He's a stud, anyways.
It took them forever to score, except when they had no timeouts and a minute 20 left to score to actually for the game.
Does Iowa State come out?
Is that how they won?
Does Iowa State come out in the first quarter with a hurry up offense? Now, I mean, how do you not? Because they scored 24 points and a half for Iowa State. That's like Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points in a basketball game.
Yeah,
that is how they won, though. They scored. They went down the field in 50 seconds, and it took them forever the entire game, except when they had no timeouts at the end of the game, down five. Score the touchdown, get the two-point conversion. Our kicker, Boomer, transferred, so we didn't even really have a chance to tie the game.
Okay, great.
Well, great. You can't you look, no matter what happens during the course of a game, if you give up 24 points to Iowa State in the second half, you're going to lose that game, I think.
Yeah, defense sucks.
That's pretty much the end of that.
Virginia at Clemson. Clemson rolled there.
Kind of sloppy game for Clemson, you know.
Well, they pulled everybody in the I'll say this for Clemson and Clemson fans. They pulled everybody at the end of the third, and then Virginia scored like 21 points in the fucking fourth.
So. I just mean penalty-wise. 10 penalties for 97 yards. It was I watched part of it. It was sloppy for them. But Virginia is like, to be honest, Clemson's fucking their travel team or whatever the fuck could beat Virginia probably. So not good.
Next up is Notre Dame at Tech. I was unaware that Haynes King was out. I wouldn't have made that bet otherwise. But
Notre Dame still handled business. I mean, but Georgia Tech's got a pretty active defense. They're good on the defensive line, and their tackles are good. Their edge rushers are just okay, but their tackles are good. Notre Dame didn't run the ball well on them, as you would expect, but they did put up points. So they've been fucking grinding it out.
They have, but I mean, not having Haynes King is a big deal.
Yeah, and then Georgia Tech still threw the ball a fucking 36 times with a dude that hasn't seen the field that much. So,
and that's on me. So I put that bet up in Drinking Bros Sports, and like I didn't see that injury report, so I lost that game. Next up was Texas A&M at Mississippi State.
This one was a bit of a head scratcher for me as well.
Me too, man.
Like, dude, Mississippi State fucking sucks.
They do, but they got this kid Michael Van Buren, who's a true freshman. He's a quarterback. He's starting to find his stride. Like, Lebby's a good coach. He's 1-6, but you know, it's Mississippi State. They're gonna get their kind of like feet under them.
Yeah. They played well against Texas, I think, in the
Georgia
first half,
they only lost by 10.
Played Georgia and A&M close. Yeah. I think at Mississippi State again, like it's a little bit of an any given Saturday thing now, especially in the SEC. Like, it is just I think you need to read into the small gaps in score, not that much. If there's a blowout, read a lot into that, but a win's a win, really.
Yeah. And if I'm Mississippi State, I probably feel good. You're going in the right direction. You got this true freshman quarterback, you're fine.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Van Buren in the fucking Heisman conversation two years. Next year, maybe. Year after that, maybe.
If they're able to get some weapons around him.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got a guy that can do what he can do, it's pretty easy to fucking get more offensive weapons to come support that.
You hope. I just don't know what they're paying the kids there. I don't know their budget. We haven't chatted with that school. Hey, Bob, we talked to Missouri. How do they do throughout the state?
What do you mean?
It's the only university anybody cares. Well, that's
is that the
true.
Only university they no, care about?
Northwest Missouri, there's a lot of Kansas fans there, I guess.
Kansas City has a lot of KU fans, but we're the only D1 football school in the state.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, you don't want to go in Mississippi as a state, right?
Mississippi?
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody lives in Mississippi.
Have you been to Mississippi?
Mississippi Burning.
Yeah.
Is all I know about it.
You want to go to Starkville for a game?
We're not interested in any way. And well, that's not true.
That's
Ole Miss
would
be dope.
Ole Miss would be fucking dope.
Ole Miss,
dude.
But just not because of the football team, though.
I love, like, that is a blast to go to that school. It's just hard to get to. It's a fun school, though.
It's a lot like Georgia, but it's better than Georgia, in my opinion.
It's two behind Arizona State. Yeah. If you're looking for hot-ass women and you're a fucking six, go to Ole Miss, dude. If your kid is balding in high school, send him to Ole Miss, and he will bring home a dime Thanksgiving.
All those dudes you see on the golf course or in the boardroom or just out in regular life, wherever, and it's a dude that he's wearing a fucking visor.
Yep.
And he's got those Oakley sunglasses with the little string thing it's a
for
wire.
For fishing, bro.
It's a wire.
Yeah, for fishing.
And he's fat, and maybe he's got a club foot, right? And he probably has low T and
a dime wife.
And he's got a 10. a Southern 10,
sure
like
does.
Just an absolute smoke show. That's where they all got them from.
Yeah,
is
so
Ole Miss.
That is, I'd highly recommend that. If you got a kid out there who's struggling looks wise,
yeah,
send him on up there. He'll have the time of his life. Just make sure he proposes literally on graduation
and
day.
Get her pregnant before she's 25,
yes,
too.
Yeah, yeah. You got to lock that down forever.
Yeah. And then the next game is Indiana, who looks great, and Nebraska, who's not back.
Hang on. They lost the quarterback, so what happens now?
I don't know, but Nebraska is not back.
No, they're not. They're not back. Raiola had three picks in this game. I talked about this on, so I watched this game because I had money, a lot of money on it. And I don't know, Nebraska. Thank you. Plus 21, and they couldn't cover that. Yeah, you're not back. You fucking suck.
Yeah.
But with this, Raiola had three picks. The defense for Indiana, forget about the offense. I know they scored 56 points. The defense is really fucking impressive for Indiana this year. And that coach,
it's a complete team,
is a fucking animal, dude. Google me. I win. When he said that at that fucking presser, dude, I was all in on that guy.
I mean, the only, to be honest, they could lose to Michigan, but it's at home. So I think Indiana wins that game.
Michigan still has not named a starting quarterback this week.
Indiana's defense is good enough that Michigan will not score. Illinois just fucking strangled Michigan to death.
Yeah, that's a 21-7 game, Indiana. Indiana also, win that 21-7.
It depends on who their quarterback
going
is.
Going at Ohio doesn't matter for Michigan.
No, no, for Indiana. Indiana.
Oh, yeah, but they're saying he's going to be back for sure in 2 weeks, and then he might not miss this week.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, we'll see.
Who do they play this week?
Washington at home,
and then at Michigan State, which is not a real game.
They play Washington. I'll give my take on that when we get to the game.
Same. I like Michigan State, too.
Yeah.
I think it's tough.
But the only tough game left on their schedule, honestly, is fucking at Ohio State.
At Ohio State.
And if they're a one-loss team, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because I think Penn State probably loses Ohio State.
Well, let's pose this question, okay? Because I think Ohio State probably ends up running the table, but then you would have a one-loss Penn State, a one-loss Indiana. Ohio State would probably play Oregon in the Big Ten championship. Mm-hmm. What do you do with Indiana and Penn State?
They're going to be top 10 teams because their only loss is going to be
four teams in?
There's a real possibility that both the Big Ten and the SEC get four teams each. Yeah.
And that's what they're demanding, by the way. And that's why I bring this up. Yeah, so both conferences are demanding it going forward.
Why demand it? Because you don't have to.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
Just play the games and it's going to happen. Just shut the fuck up. Don't be petulant about it. You're clearly the best. Just let it work. Let the fucking system work the way it's supposed to. But yeah, it would be, if they all do indeed go in as one loss teams, then Oregon will be the one seed and Ohio State would be the two, because Ohio State would have wins over the other two, right?
Correct. And then then Ohio State would play Oregon in the Big Ten championship. Yeah.
And they're all four teams get in then.
Now what happens?
To be honest, because Penn State is going to be 10-1, Indiana would be 10-1, mm-hmm. or 11-1 or whatever. I don't know how many games they're playing, but yeah, you can't.
Even if Ohio State beats Oregon, that's only one loss for Oregon, so they're in.
Yeah.
Well, they're in. Yeah. Yeah, if they get to the Big Ten championship, they're in.
But even with Indiana, it's like they could be the odd man out with one loss because their strength of schedule is pretty fucking weak.
The question is, if Ohio State loses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look. We decide this past weekend. It can be chaos now.
It can be absolute chaos now, and it is worth posing the question. Playing at Penn State is never fucking easy. Dan and I have been to that game five times together over the years. That stadium is fucking loud as shit. They'll be up for it.
And by the way, to be honest,
when it rolls around, it is going to be a 2-3 matchup or a 3-4. Like, the world will be watching.
How many fucking false starts and bad plays did your offense make in Oregon?
Six like, false starts because of that crowd noise.
And that's
six.
That's not great, obviously.
No.
False starts, and then you get into third and longs, but there was a couple of holdings on the back end of those. There was a couple of bad plays downfield as well. It's like that. It's going to be like that in Penn State, too.
And Ohio State just lost their left tackle, who is number 25 in the pick on Mel Kiper's big board.
And Penn State's defense is quite a bit better than Oregon's. right? I mean,
oh yeah.
So, you know,
it's a lot better than Oregon.
It's don't take anything for granted this year. Shit,
you can't
betting wise,
both voting and college football.
Well, I mean, like betting.
Don't take it for granted. Go vote too, motherfuckers.
Betting on the individual game, but also like projecting who's going to be where at the end of the season. This is going to be weird.
Yeah, it is. It's fun though. Mm-hmm. Like this is probably one of the funnest college football seasons we've had in fucking years now at this point. Next up, we got Kansas State at West Virginia. Kansas State, I like the Avery Johnson kid. He's fun. You're going to have to take somebody from the Big 12. Is it them?
Yeah, they're going to run the table.
Yeah, whoever. So
they're going to get hot and just fucking wipe everyone.
The best case scenario.
They're already hot.
Yeah. The best case scenario for the SEC and Big 10 is that the one or both of the Big 12 and ACC are one bid leagues.
Okay.
Which I think will be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Big 12 is almost certainly going to be a one bid league.
Oh, yeah. We're not getting too
crazy. I mean, the most likely trajectory right now is that BYU and K-State meet again in the Big 12 championship, unless by some miracle Iowa State wins out. I don't know who's on the rest of the schedule.
Well, according to Vegas, it's a fucking pick 'em this weekend with UCF.
But that's like they've been over promoting UCF. I think, hasn't UCF, like they're 0-4 against the spread the last 4 weeks or something like that? I mean, I don't know what Vegas is on.
Three losses before this game, we were favored.
Yeah. It's been difficult for Vegas and them for some reason.
It's been.
But I don't think, I don't know. It'll be some combination of K-State, Iowa State, and BYU in the Big 12 championship game, and the winner of that's obviously going to go. So
yeah. next up, Mizzou came back and beat Auburn there. Bob, does their season end this week?
Fuck that. We're winning this game.
Fuck no, you aren't.
At
fuck
Bama,
that.
Huh?
We're winning this game. I really was annoyed that Bama lost. Like, that was not great for for our prospects.
I could see
this
going like the Georgia game where Bama just comes out in
this
like,
is
furious.
This is a must win for Bama this week.
And us.
For their coach.
And us. Like, the whole season's on the line.
Not Missouri. Out Bama. Bama in particular.
But
their fan base, you're following up on Saban. Like, you would be out of the playoffs if you lose this
two
week.
Loss Missouri's not getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, no. The whole season is on the line for both teams in this game.
I understand, but as far as a national news story, following up Saban with a guy who loses three games, that fan base, Paul Feinbaum, all these fuckers, dude, are going to go ballistic.
Nah, they'll give him a year. He has a year grace period.
Does he?
Yes.
Have you 100%. Heard the people calling in? They want to fucking string his nuts up on a tree.
Fucking cool. Dumbest ones on there.
You just had the greatest coach of all time. Yeah, yes, he's not going to be him.
They put the dumbest assholes on there. Like he easily has a year. I know he was given a good roster, but like
he's got a couple of years.
It's still a different. Oh yeah, but I'm saying like no reasonable Alabama fan, no even semi reasonable Alabama fan is that upset.
No,
like they're annoyed because you don't like losing to Tennessee. And losing
Tennessee,
to Vandy is crazy.
Tennessee, at Vandy. And Vandy's, you know, they keep winning.
Yeah. I
ranked
don't know.
Vandy.
It'll be fun, and we'll chat about it. Next, God damn it, dude. SMU. SMU's on here. Look, they played Stanford. No need.
What was the score?
I can't see it. It's Bob. It's really
40
far away.
40-10.
They fucking beat the shit out of a bad team.
Too far away.
They're rolling.
Can't read it.
Ponies rolling.
Can't read
They're
it.
They're going
dude.
Off. They beat Louisville last
you
week.
You don't get any credit for beating fucking Stanford.
No,
let's
dude,
just move on.
Let's be fucking real here.
I mean, if they didn't win by 30, you'd be like, what's wrong with that from you?
Their only loss is to undefeated BYU. So.
This team does not exist in my eyes. I can't even read the score. Next up, Illinois, dude. Best unis I've seen this year. I fucking love these goddamn things. And
they kind of reminded me of the Packers blue and browns.
This
the
was
old school one.
I wish this would be their permanent uniform, for real, dude. It was really fucking cool. Did a double take over the helmets. Like, do this. It's a fucking badass look, dude. I'm all in.
Does Illinois enter the conversation? They beat Oregon this weekend.
If they beat Oregon this weekend, the answer is yes.
They got Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Northwestern for the rest of the schedule.
Yep.
That's not a good schedule.
If you beat the number one team in the nation, yes, you've got to be in that conversation. You have to. Army's up next, dude. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Army, Navy, both rolled to close this out this week.
The service academies are printing money.
We've bet on them most of the year, and we are just printing fucking money with these guys, dude.
I mean, they ran for, and look, it's
the ECU. Troops ran
It's ECU, so whatever, but they ran for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns in a single game. That's pretty good.
The troops did that.
running for that amount of, and it's Bob mentioned it yesterday, I think, the problem with Army when they're good or Navy when they're good is that you don't run like a cover one or cover two with, you know, deep linebackers or a couple of safeties back there because you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
You run a cover zero probably, which is just a flat formation on defense because they don't throw the ball. They only run it, right?
Yeah.
But if a guy breaks through the first 10 yards, he's fucking, he's That's gone it. Every single time, man. It makes you wonder now that they actually have that kind of talent. They have a really good offensive lines, both teams do, and they've got multiple good run. Both teams have shit. Army had two guys go over 100 yards, and Navy in this week they scored 51 points. They had like eight different dudes run the ball. You know what I mean? It's like maybe you need to play a different defense against these guys now.
The other thing too is if one or both of these teams gets in the playoffs, if you've ever had to play them, because Ohio State used to play either Army and or Navy every year. It's like going against a fucking knuckleball pitcher. It is so goddamn hard and difficult that for the first half, you're literally just trying to figure out what the fuck they're doing.
It's fighting for your life out there.
Yeah. And then the second half, you're able to make adjustments and somehow sneak out a win by like 10 or 13. But if both these teams get in the playoffs, they're going to fuck someone up, dude.
Yeah. I think one of them will win a playoff game.
I do too.
Like a first rounder maybe, but I think they'll win.
It is too difficult to scheme a defense for, man. And you're just not used to it because you run out your practice squad and then you give them the game tape and say, all right, you're going to do this and this and this. But the offense isn't used to running that, so they have to kind of figure out this bullshit system. And, dude, it's really hard. All right, we got some sponsors real quick that put this show on the air, and then we'll get to this week's picks. Obviously, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bobby, tell us about the rake back.
Dude, they got – so if you're a regular player – you're going to get a thing called a rake back. So if you, you know, eat shit one week, you get a bad weekend, whatever, they're going to toss you a little bit back if you're in the MyBookie Plus Rewards program, which if you are a regular player, you kind of are auto-enrolled in that. You should be.
I got $71 back this week.
Yeah, you can check. There's a little MyBookie Plus tab when you go to the homepage. You can see all your stuff in there. And obviously, you get rewards points for every dollar you bet, at least 1 point per dollar. If it's a straight bet, it's 1 point. If it's a parlay, it's like three, and so on and so forth. There's a million little details on that. It's in a pinned post in the Drinking Bro Sports Facebook group. But suffice it to say, MyBookie is just thanking you for playing. It's their 10-year anniversary. They're tossing people tons of shit for it.
Best in the business over there, man. And the prop bets, everything you can bet on, shit. What I bet on last night? I teased both of those NFL games. They both hit. That was fun. I lost, though, on the on my prop bet. I had J.K. Dobbins, and he shit the bed last night. Arizona magically had a fucking defense in that game. But otherwise, decent nights, and I used my rake back in it, dude, so it was nice, dude. Danny was able to add a little more, so I can play a little more this weekend. You can, too, at mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit up to $1,000. Next up, we got Drinking Bros tickets.com. Great games. Let's take this Thursday night game. Syracuse at Pittsburgh, $20. If you're in Pittsburgh, just got off of fucking work, dude. Working hard like a Bruce Springsteen down in the coal mines. Go get drunk at this game. $20. That's it. Got tickets for every single college game, NFL game, concerts, rodeos, comedy shows, anything that there requires a ticket in this life. You can get tickets on there. They're about $10 cheaper than StubHub. It rocks. Go to drinkingbrostickets.com. And then last but not least, we got hardafseltzer.com. Beautiful thing to watch last week. Illinois versus Michigan. Both schools are hard AF seltzer. Love it. Those orange ones are flying off the shelves in Illinois. Huge fan. Here's my biggest issue with it is I brought a shit ton back from Illinois. Mm-hmm. So we don't ship those. And like I'm out and I'm saving them like a fucking hoarder in my outside fridge. And like the 16 ounces are bomb.
You know what you should do is pour one out on to like dehydrate it just into the powder and then start snorting that shit.
I'd love to. God damn it, man.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I would recommend. Yeah, if you're trying to make it last.
I know.
Because you'll get the drip. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine having orange Fanta alcohol drip?
That'd be great.
It's not. There's not a whole lot better than that.
No, there sure isn't.
So if you're, you know, if you at home want to look into that as well.
Yeah, and then in Michigan, by the way, the University of Michigan's are out all over the states, and they're in your favorite locations and just kind of hidden. So they're like magic six packs that just exist all over the state of Michigan, which is awesome. Yes, we did that on purpose because it's a flavor that is unique to that state. It will not be anywhere else. Same with the Illinois flavor. So if you find it, grab the six pack of the Michigan ones because they're completely different than the rest of our variety packs. Same with the orange that does not exist in the variety packs. And it's a fun little Willy Wonka magic fucking golden ticket over there. We're available in all the HEBs in Texas, Total Wines nationally, Piggly Wiggly's in Alabama and Georgia. And shit, we're live in what, 10 states now? Yeah, 10 states. Oregon just opened. We're spreading out all over Oregon right now. And Idaho. Then Montana and Idaho at the end of the month.
Yeah, so we'll be at 12 by the end of this month.
12 by the end of the month. Check your store locator on hardafseltzer.com. If you're not one of those states, one of the surrounding states will still ship right to your house. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off there. That'll knock it down to $40 for 24 cans. For an 8%, it's a fucking steal, brother. All right, let's get to the Thursday night game, which I love. I am all fucking in on this game. Cannot wait. Cannot wait for this game because I don't want to talk about this team the rest of the fucking year. It is Pittsburgh that I'm talking about. SMU and Pittsburgh. These two fucks will not shut up about it. It is over on Thursday night. This is Pitt -6 at home against Syracuse. I am all in on Syracuse. I'm money lining this shit.
Yeah, when has Kyle McCord ever let you down?
He didn't. So here's the fucked up thing. 2 weeks ago, if you're following along in Drinking Bros Sports, I threw 500 on that motherfucker, dude.
I know.
To come through money line again to beat another ranked team. UNLV. And he did it. He did it.
Yes, threw the ball 63 times. Man, if only Ohio State had a quarterback like Kyle McCord.
Yeah, God, dude.
He's got 19 Christ. Touchdowns and six picks. It's better than your guy.
No, not a fucking
The stats prick. Are literally better than Will Howard's.
Yeah. But he doesn't. We have the two best running. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to throw the ball there.
Well, then how was Judkins for the Oregon
hey,
game?
Hey, guys, you talk to Kyle's dad. Because dad went into his office and said, is my son going to start this year like a fucking child? That's what kids' dads say to me, and they're six.
You forced them out. You forced that man out.
Now Ryan Day said, hey, dude, I don't know if you're going to start. We're loaded, bro.
He's on a redemption tour.
So, yeah, come in and fucking play.
Redemption tour.
They're not even ranked. But
if they win this game, they will be.
They sure will be. They sure will be. Well, will they?
Yeah.
They were ranked after they beat.
Yeah, the bottom 10, like fucking 16 to 25, if you beat one of them, you just replace them in the rankings usually.
They were ranked after UNLV.
They're still in the mix for, because they have one loss. They're still in the mix, though, for the ACC.
Everybody is in that conference, man. Gary's in the mix in the ACC by himself.
Yeah,
dude.
And he can barely keep himself alive.
I know.
So
yeah. Shit.
And I'm not saying he should.
Me neither. You Gary know. Spilled more blood than Chris Godwin last night. All right. Who you got in this one? Syracuse at Pitt for this Thursday night game. $20 are tickets. Even the fans hate this team.
I mean, you know, there's better things to do even on a Thursday night in Pittsburgh. I don't know what.
No.
But there's definitely something better
smoking
than this.
Meth out of light bulbs?
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun game. They're going to score a billion points.
I know. Why aren't the fans interested in going to this? I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm probably going to take the over. I think 62.5 is low. I think neither one of these defenses are very good. McCord is a little pick prone sometimes, but I don't think against
he's already got six.
Yeah, I don't think against Pittsburgh though. I think both teams are going to score in the mid-30s in this game, so I'm taking the over.
Okay, you're not taking?
No, I have no idea who's going to win this game. I think they're about equal. I think they're about equal.
I think Pitt is losers. I'm tired of hearing about this team all year. The fans clearly don't want to be here at $20 a ticket, for Christ's sake. So yeah, Syracuse money line all in. Fucking start the Honda McCord, dude, and let him go. Let him go up there. Next up, the Friday night game. Banger as well, dude. We told you there were bangers up and down the lineup this weekend. Boise State against UNLV. Boise -3 at, this is actually at Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders play. So who you got?
Yeah, I'll take fucking Boise State at pretty much any reasonable line.
Yeah.
They are on fire right now, and also UNLV not particularly great against the run. Mm-hmm. They give up 80 to 120 a game to whomever the not total, but to the starting running back on the other team.
Sure,
Genty's going to have 900 yards in this game. not for real. I think he'll probably have a 160 and 3 touchdowns in this game, and Boise just cruises.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say, guys. I've been saying it for 8 years on this show. Always bet on Boise. I'll kick this down a half a point like I always do, just because it's three and I don't want to push. Pushing's for losers. Either hit somebody in the face or go home. So, yeah, all in on Boise here. Love them. Love this school. Always have. And I hope they make the playoffs. It would be fun. Next up, you got Nebraska at Ohio State. Jesus Christ. Spread is 25.5.
With a 48.5 over.
Yikes. We'll take the over.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Rayola playing? Is any hurt?
Doesn't matter. They gave up 56 to Indiana last week.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Ohio State's better than Indiana?
Yes. That's not even close.
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's not even close, but I think Ohio State is better.
I think that if you have an offense geared around two running backs and your best offensive lineman is out of the game, that might cause some problems for you.
Now that, look, the lineman thing hurts, man. And there's another one that's injured too.
Because now you, like, you pass rush from the right because your left tackle's out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you fucking, you anticipate the run to the,
run
to,
right.
to your yep. left or their right, right? Right. So I don't know. Nebraska's not back. But Matt Rhule is also not fucking flippy Scott, whatever the fuck his name was, Frost, who doesn't know how to coach football, right? Like, Matt Rhule is a real football coach, and you think he's going to come into this with a game plan. And I think that's why the over-under is so low. I think that's kind of low for this game, because Nebraska can score a little bit.
I do, too. That's why I'm taking the over in this game. Yeah.
I think the over is probably smart. I might put it in a teaser, though, just because of all this fucking weird shit that's going on.
Is Rayola out? Can we confirm that?
I think
that?
He's back this week, but he was out last week, right?
No, he played.
Or he got knocked out?
He threw three picks last week.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So he is playing, I think.
Let's see. Hang on.
No, he's playing.
Yeah, okay. He's playing. So, he's playing. I mean, the thing that really concerns me is Ohio State being able to run the ball as much as they want to, right? Because you definitely can't count on Will Howard to do anything.
Yes.
He's a dum-dum. I don't think he's very good, to be honest.
He is good.
He's very good.
He's definitely not. I've saw him in person. He's not good.
He is
350
very good.
Yards and three touchdowns, man.
Yeah.
He had 7 incompletions. Mm-hmm. And one was on the fucking 12th man on the field.
Yeah. What do you mean?
What planet do you live on? 28 of 35 for 350 and three touchdowns?
I live on a planet where every big moment of that game, he underthrew or overthrew the ball. That's the planet I live on.
Where?
What do you mean, where? We were watching the game.
I was watching the game. The last, when the guy batted the ball away, there was 12 men on the field.
No, not that one. They were 4 for 12 on third down, and every single one of those third downs except for one was a pass play.
Let me pull up Will Howard's stats here. This is fucking madness.
I don't give a shit about his stats. I care about what happened in big moments of the game when pressure's on, and he's not very good in those moments. Now, there's not going to be any pressure in this Nebraska game, to be fair.
74% completion percentage on the year. Mm-hmm. What more are you going to ask out of it? Look, I'm a dude who will fucking hate on Ohio State quarterbacks all day long. I wanted Kyle McCord out of there. I don't have any feelings like with Will Howard at all. Fucking 74% completion percentage on the year? No. Shit. He's fine. I think Ohio State still wins the national championship Will Howard.
That I definitely don't believe. But I just, seeing him in person, I was not very impressed.
28 of 35, you were not impressed.
In those moments where they really needed him to perform, he didn't.
He sure did. He threw it to Jeremiah Smith and would have won the game. It was offensive pass interference.
Well, he's not open if he doesn't do that.
Yes, he's open. Did you think that play was egregious or not? I mean, it could have gone either way, obviously, but whatever, right? He completed the goddamn pass. I don't know what more you could ask out of Will Howard in that situation. Like, for real. I hated Kyle McCord. Do not hate Will Howard.
I don't.
And
he's definitely
74% completion.
He's definitely better than McCord. There's a question about that. I just don't think he's got the weapons. I guess maybe that McCord had. Maybe that's what I'm reading into. He just in person, he's not very impressive. Those moments where you need to get those third down conversions, he fucking flubbed on all of them except for that one that you're talking about, which was a penalty. all the other ones on third down. It was 4 for 12, man. It's not good. That's losing football.
But we were running the ball on half of those. So, like, I mean, and not
it
having
wasn't,
the,
it wasn't half of them. It was
not
two.
Having the weapons. You got Jeremiah Smith and you got Emeka Egbuka at wide receiver there. I mean, those are the two best in the nation.
Are they?
Yes.
According to whom?
Jeremiah Smith is a goddamn prodigy.
He's very good at 18. Yeah, very good. He's not Marvin Harrison Jr. or anything, right? Like, he's not a
good... I think he'll be better. So does Marvin Harrison Jr. That's what he said.
He might, yeah, in a year or two, but not. We're not talking about a year or two from now. We're talking about now.
How many one-handed catches does this dude have to make?
I mean, you can look at the stats for college football and see where they land on here.
I sure will, and I'm gonna read you this list. You ready? For freshman wide receivers at Ohio State University, he's on pace to break every single record there ever was, including all of Chris Carter's records.
I mean, I can read you 30 receivers who have better stats in college football than anybody on Ohio State right now.
You can, but when you have 80 weapons over there, you got to spread the ball around. I mean, that's the crazy part about it.
I think those two guys are very good. Egbuka was open constantly and didn't get the ball very much in that game. I don't know what that's about, right? I mean, you've got four weapons on the field.
Egbuka had 120 yards in that game?
I think one of them was for 60, though, right?
I don't remember.
How many fucking receptions did he have in that game? Now I got to look. But that guy, your guy, what's his name? The young one?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jeremiah Smith.
Smith.
Him so against Oregon, he had 9 receptions for 100 yards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great.
And a touchdown.
And Egbuka had 10.
He had 10 receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown. I mean, out of all the Ohio State receivers who have been great over the years, and it is a fucking laundry list, you know who's going to end up number one in receiving yards?
It might be him,
of all time.
Yeah, because it was. But how many receivers start as true freshmen on Ohio State? They're usually pretty good. Pretty deep, too.
Yes. Jeremiah Smith is shit. He's the last one that I can truly remember. Even Marvin Harrison didn't start as a freshman.
No, he didn't. He wasn't even on. Was he on the practice squad? Did he redshirt his first year?
He ended up playing when everybody sat out the fucking Rose Bowl, but that was about it.
And Jigma did too, right? Or he didn't play in that game, but he redshirted his first year is what I mean.
Sat out every fucking game, that guy.
For as biased as Ross typically is for Ohio State, I will say, just watching them against Oregon, they impressed me with their talent, obviously.
They always have skill.
But Oregon just beat them. Like, Oregon, I think you should come away from that game just saying Oregon's good.
Oregon is good, for sure.
Ohio State is also very, very good.
100%.
I don't, by no stretch am I saying Ohio State's not good. They have four of the best skill position players in all of college football.
We might have watched the two top teams in the country.
I just don't think that.
At the end of the day.
I don't think Howard's very good.
I think Howard is good.
He's got all the weapons you could ever ask for, and he's kind of getting by on it, to be honest. That's what I saw. Because, again, in those bigger moments, he's a bad decision maker, I guess.
This is fucking madness.
That could also be Ryan Day being a shitty fucking coach too, because I think he is a shitty coach.
Chip Kelly's calling the plays, dude. I can't fault a guy. You tell me before the game starts, you're going to go 28 for 35 with 3 touchdowns. I take that all day long, night long.
Ryan Day is getting that rap though. He is not good in big games.
Yeah,
Ryan Day is, but it's the fucking, at the end of the day, Chip Kelly's calling the offense, and then you got homeboy calling the defense, so it's like...
At the end of the day, it's on Ryan Day.
Sure is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the shit I care about. If a guy goes 4 for 4 with solo home runs or whatever, and then the game is on the line in the ninth, and he does something dumb and fucks it up, I'm still going to blame him for it. Like, yeah, you had a good stat game.
Now, the sliding with not sliding with 1 second left is on Will Howard. However, the rest of that game, he was pretty fucking
It wasn't
perfect.
Just that. It was like third down conversion stuff that kind of irked me. And it was in the second quarter mostly, I think, if I recall. I remember thinking that, man, this is... It's not... So when I was playing high school, my senior year of high school baseball, actually, we were really good. We only lost one game during the regular season that was the championship game of a tournament. And it was in everybody's heads, right? And then we go to the state championship and get fucking swept. 2 out of 3 games we lost 2 and went home. And it occurred to me that something about the composition of this team or something just wasn't going to perform in that kind of stress for whatever reason. Yeah, who knows why it is. It kind of feels like that with Day, especially. But Howard, on that, when I look at a game like that, I'm looking at third down conversion. That's one of the most important things for me to tell whether a dude is a fucking baller.
Ohio State is 12th in college football this year in third down conversions.
Yeah, but I mean,
overall.
Not against Oregon. Not when it fucking mattered, is what I'm saying.
And he's averaging 295 yards passing a game.
That's fine,
too. I mean, that is just...
That's great against Akron and Western Michigan and Marshall and Michigan State and Iowa. But against Oregon, when it mattered, it wasn't there. And look, it was still a close game.
Yeah, I mean, 350 yards passing, dude.
That's, I mean, they were four. Yeah, Ohio State was 4 for 12 on third down.
No picks, no fumbles, no nothing. Man, that's a lot to ask for, dude. Even for me,
I mean,
it might not
be Howard's problem. It might be the team's problem, right? But it's not a good look to go 4 for 12 on third down and lose a game with a boneheaded play like that.
Paying $5 million for a running back like Judkins.
Yeah, that again.
So if you're looking for a scapegoat on Ohio State this year, Judkins would be your guy.
I agree with that. Certainly a bigger play than even the slide, to be honest, because they would have scored probably on one of the next four plays or so.
Oregon got the ball on the 19-yard line and were able to punch it in right there, and that was the difference in the game.
It was a 14-point swing for sure.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it turned out to be a 12-point swing because Oregon tried to go for two, I think, and fucked it up.
Well,
is that right?
Dan Lanning always
does that one?
He does it at every game, so it is what it is.
Either way,
I'm going to take the over in this
game.
Ohio
State's going to fucking spank Nebraska. There's no question. Nebraska
48.5 is the over. I'm smashing that all day long. The point spread seems odd to me right now, but
what's odd about it?
25.5. You don't really see 25. Like, I would have put this at maybe 27.5 to kind of get to that 28 margin. You don't often see 25.5 in a game.
Well, maybe that's just respect for Rule and Rayola. Who knows?
I guess.
But that's probably a mistake. I mean, Ohio State is going to be very unhappy going into this game and looking to rip somebody's nuts off.
And they're coming off a bye.
Nebraska also just got embarrassed. I think this is going to be a lot closer than you think, just because it's going to be Rule just having the boys all
Ohio State,
up.
Though, just came off a bye, so it's tough. And then you're going into Columbus. It is a fucking noon game, though, on Fox. So is the Penn State game, by the way, which is fucking
sucks.
Bullshit. Next up, we got Notre Dame at Navy.
Navy money line.
Yes. This is Notre Dame -12.5, Navy money line across the board. These have to be juicy odds, Bob, on a money line on
it's
that.
It's got
to
be, because it's a 12.5
point
spread.
360 plus 365.
All in.
That'll be, I mean, look, Navy probably won't win the game, but.
I think they will.
I think there's a reasonable possibility they do. And if you're going to get a reasonable possibility of +360, you got to at least sprinkle that shit.
Can somebody tell me why they're playing? It's at the Jets and Giants Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Because it's Notre Dame.
Because it's
a home game for Navy.
It's a historic rivalry.
Does Navy typically play? Are they playing at
FedEx now? They usually play
now?
At Notre Dame. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Notre Dame, though.
Well, you got to get all the fucking Notre Dame fans in New Jersey.
Navy's in Annapolis. Are they playing at FedEx in D.C. or in Maryland there?
For what?
For their regular season games.
No, Navy has a...
They got a field. They got a stadium.
I know they do.
It's just a big game, right? Yeah, Notre Dame Navy.
But you put it up in New Jersey?
It's like Georgia Tech and Notre Dame. Where'd they play last week?
I'm telling you, most...
But Tech was in Atlanta, at least. You're like...
The majority
of
Notre Dame fans are like Northeast. They're just Irish people.
Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium
is
where they play their home games.
Moneyline Navy. I don't give a shit. Moneyline Navy. I am all in on this game.
Yeah, I'm good with that, too. I just, for the lulls, to be honest.
Not the lulls. I think I don't think Notre Dame's very good. Like, for real. I think Navy will win. And this option, man, is so
fucking
hard.
Capacity is 34,000.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you, this is a historic rivalry, because people forget Navy and Army used to be, like, they have a lot of national championships from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So because of that, they like to play these games in big spots. And honestly, Navy veterans and shit come out to it too. Like, it's a real thing. So they want to make more money off of it. Both the schools probably do.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you have all the people coming out from Annapolis. You have all those Notre Dame fans that have never been in the state of Indiana. It's going to be great.
Next up, we got Washington at Indiana. Another great game here, especially with Rourke out potentially. Look, he's got 15 touchdowns and 2,000 yards passing on the year. It is a big fucking deal that he is out. That's why the spread is this low. It is Indiana -6.5. Who you got?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I have no idea who's the backup anything for Indiana.
I have zero idea.
Their defense is good. Like, it's
defense is very good.
They've been scoring a lot of points this season, which is the odd part of it. Because usually they don't, but they've got
so the backup the Indiana backup, because Rourke only played the first half.
Mm-hmm.
He was 7 for 8 with 91 yards and 2 touchdown passes.
What's his name?
Taven
Jackson.
Jackson, and he is a sophomore.
Taven Jackson. Okay.
Never heard of him, but they do. They also have 2 running backs with 400 yards or more, both averaging over 5 yards a carry. So
Indiana's coming into 13 right now. Washington obviously has a new coach. If he needs a big win on his resume here for recruiting
year. They've got 28 rushing touchdowns this year.
So I think this kid transferred. 7 games? This kid transferred from Tennessee.
Okay.
That can't be right.
All right. Give me Washington plus the points here. Just because the quarterback's out, man. If he is, right?
I won't
broken thumb and had surgery. So yeah. Saying
there's optimism he could be back for Michigan State.
Mm. All right, give me Washington plus the points. And sadly, this kid ends their season.
Mm-hmm. I'm not touching that one.
Indiana rolls. They're too well coached. Washington's kind of a mess right
Plug
now.
Plug and play Indiana.
Yeah.
By 2 scores.
And by the way, this guy, the coach, I always forget his name, but he's from JMU. That is a plug and play ass program, dude. This guy is used to just putting dudes in and winning games.
Signetta or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like 60, though. It's weird.
Yeah, he is.
I thought he was younger.
So did I.
And it's a home game. The Indiana crowd is going to know how big this fucking game is with Rourke out. They're going to be there for their fucking guys, dude. Indiana can win this game by a touchdown, no problem.
Okay. Next up, we got Oklahoma at Ole Miss. This is Ole Miss minus 20. Oklahoma's a fucking mess. I think Jackson Arnold's going to start again this weekend for them. Not that it really matters. They're on a fucking downward slide. They're 1-3 in the SEC right now, and Ole Miss needs this bad. You can't lose this fucking game. So that minus 20, yeah, they win by 3 scores. Give me Ole Miss at home.
Man, what do you do with Venables?
I don't think
fire him.
To get who?
He's not the dude. But here's the problem with Venables, too.
Bring your baby boy back.
Who?
Lincoln Bring him Riley. Back to Clemson. That's where he belongs.
Lincoln Riley.
Oh, Lincoln Riley. Come back. Yeah. And then Venables would go back to Clemson.
I get sketched out by dudes who were coordinators for so long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's your deal, dude?
Yeah. Like, why did you never get a coaching job before that? Did they just keep paying you and they kept you there? That's fine.
Name a time when it's worked. Like, Saban didn't spend a fuckload of time as a coordinator.
I have a perfect example.
Who?
Kirby was for like 7 years.
I mean, the ultimate forever coordinator that became a winner, Bruce Arians.
Yeah, that's true. And then he oddly retired like right after that. Like that it was
went
it.
Out on top.
Baby. Yeah, sure did.
Because you got to let Todd Bowles come in there and do his magic.
Yeah, for sure, man. But yeah, Oklahoma just can't fucking figure it out. They can't score.
20 and a half is too many points. I'm not doing that.
I am. I think Ole Miss wins by 3 touchdowns.
There's just been a lot of incompetence out of Ole Miss this year.
And it's you get off schedule and you're not making 20 and a half. Fuck that.
Like they really did actually have an excellent game against South Carolina, and they played a fine game at LSU. That's a totally excusable loss by 3 in overtime or whatever. Yeah. Like that's actually fucking fine. But man, that Kentucky loss is just so fucking bad. It's
Kentucky lost to Georgia by 1 point. 1 point.
Yeah.
Lost Florida.
Kentucky just got blown out by Florida.
I know, it's
too up and down.
I'm
not for 20 points, a team that's 1-2 in conference.
I think that's a sus line.
I'll take it. I just Oklahoma's a mess on offense. I'll take it.
I don't know how they score, really.
Next up, so when I talk about spreads on this show and where they should be and like what's odd and what's not odd and what they're trying to do Vegas wise, that's why the 25 and a half was weird to me. You just don't see that number. This next one is exactly where it should be here. Illinois at Oregon, 230 game here, and it's Oregon minus 21 and a half. This is probably a 3-score game, right? That's why that half point exists there. The spread makes perfect sense to me. Give me the Illini plus the points here because of that half a point.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, it could be. I might take the under in this game, to be honest.
At 54.5?
Yeah, just because we've been to this Oregon Stadium now and Autzen Stadium. I know what it sounds like.
God damn it.
Illinois operates on a lot of fucking timing plays on offense, especially with their top receiver, that kid. He's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a lot of penalties in this game on Illinois. It's going to rattle them. I think I don't know if they're going to get blown out or anything like that. But I don't expect them to score a bunch of points like they're used to.
No, but and here's the thing, because we've seen them in real life. They muck up a game and kind of just eat up clock. Where I remember the game we were at, just looking up at the clock, and I was like, shit, are we already midway through the second quarter? That's the game they play. So, like, I don't think they'll cover, and I think that's why this over is so low. For an Oregon team that usually an Oregon's over under is somewhere in the 60s, and it's a 54.5 here for this one. Like, give me Illinois at plus 21.5.
You want somebody that mucks it up, Burt Ball. I mean, Illinois for sure is going to muck it up.
Yeah, dude. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, we saw it in real life. And so, yeah, I think they're going to do this to Oregon, and I think they'll cover because of it. So I'm all in on the 21.5 there for Illinois. Next up, we got BYU, undefeated, number 11 in the country, playing a UCF team that has another quarterback. They're 3-4, 1-3 in the Big Ten, and it is a pick'em game that is currently off the board.
No, it's on. It's still on.
Mine says offline.
Yeah,
right
on ESPN
now.
It says offline, but it's on.
No. I'm on my bookie.
My bookie, it's a pick'em.
It's a pick'em now?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? What happened? Did BYU, did they have a mission? Did people go on Rumspringa? Like, what happened here?
UCF's got the boys, man. We got the fucking horses in the back.
I cannot, for the life of me, figure out a pick'em game with an undefeated team that is ranked number 11 in the country.
You don't just roll into the bounce house.
I mean, it's west to east. That's the only thing that I can really think of.
Deep east, too. Like
it's also
far.
It's also going to be...
it's as far east as you can get.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's rainy in Florida, humid as shit, probably 82 degrees.
You want to know?
Probably 82 degrees, probably 85% humidity.
I do see wet rain forecast for the game.
It is.
Honest opinion, we're going to win this game. We just are.
Why?
Because this is what Gus Malzahn does.
It's just the way shit goes in life.
BYU's been a little bit worse on the road. I mean, they have one, obviously they're undefeated, but a 3-point win at SMU, that's great, whatever. But I mean, they haven't been winning by a lot. They only won by one score at Baylor, at Wyoming's whatever. But
Gus Malzahn's going to ruin their season. This is just what he does.
So last year, I bet on Oklahoma State going into UCF. It was the same weird spread like this, and I was like, I can't figure it out. And they got rocked by 40 fucking points. I can't see it. I'm betting a shit ton on BYU. I'm all in on BYU. If you're a number 11 and you're a serious team, there is no fucking way you should lose this game to a backup quarterback that of a 3-4 team. There is just no fucking way. The fact that it is a pick'em game tells you all you need to know about BYU. Then I guess for the rest of the year in this conference, what a fucking joke. That's nuts to me. Oh, I'm betting it. Are you taking this?
No.
Really?
No, I don't. I'm not. Vegas knows something, and I'm not getting involved in this.
RJ Harvey's going to run for 200 yards.
Bob, be the split to sit, be the divider here in this.
I would stay off this. It's sketchy. It's absolutely sketchy. And UCF and Gus Malzahn in particular, they do have a tendency to do this. Maybe the weather's extra humid that day. I don't know. BYU.
Oh, those the Mountain Boys? They coming down in a humid Florida?
Yeah, I mean, do you remember that happened to Utah?
Utah did the, yeah.
So Utah had to open the year at UF and absolutely ruin their national championship chances.
They
by
can't
losing
handle
game
the
one.
Heat.
It was too fucking hot.
I don't know what's going on today in this building, but I'm going to drink on a fucking Tuesday right now. I don't know what's happening in here. I'll be right back. I'm grabbing a hard AF here. This is nuts.
It's just facts. We're going to beat BYU.
It's not that nuts. It's just some data point that we're not seeing. That's all it is. Vegas is pretty smart about this stuff.
They love us. Vegas loves UCF for some fucking reason. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean,
it.
To be fair, they have been wrong about UCF all season.
We've bet against them all year.
I know. We were 14-point favorites against Colorado and got rolled.
Rolled. And I won, what, $500? Like, everybody sees my bets in the fucking thing. Like, no,
but that's like the first rule of gambling. If it doesn't make sense, choose that side.
No, I'll. This will be a $500 game for
maybe
me.
It's just a glitch in the matrix right now.
BYU, I, yeah,
you're gonna lose $500.
No, yes, I'm not.
You are. You're about to lose $500.
And then in the teasers, like college, have been really fucking good this year. But boy. But what does that tell you about your fucking conference then?
It doesn't. Also, we're not factoring in. Orlando, huge city for the Mormons.
Is it? If it's so huge, then they should all be out there.
There's a
there
whole
for this
song
game.
In the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, yeah. I know they're going to have such a good time in Orlando that they might get the Orlando flu.
Florida.
Yeah, well, what exactly are the Mormons going to go out into Orlando and do to get this flu that you're saying?
They're going to hit the roller coasters at Universal.
You know what's hilarious?
They're going to have adrenal fatigue from the roller coasters.
This is a true story. Do you know that there's like, what's the Knights of the Round Table restaurant from Cable Guy? Medieval Times.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a Christ version of that down there. So maybe Holy Lands, that's it. Yes. Yes. Maybe they go to Holy Lands and watch the fucking joust and swords and they're up for this game.
That's actually BYU. Where Rob got married. Do you know that?
Holy Land. It was beautiful.
Are you kidding?
No. Him and his wife got married. It was a wonderful ceremony.
Baptized and then married.
It was on Holy Lands?
Calvary Hill.
Yeah.
That'd have been great.
Baptized and
married. That'd have been great. Look, we're about to go into Bizarro Land too, because now we go from UCF to Missouri here in this next game.
Money line.
Another fucking hotbed of Mormonism, Missouri.
No, we kicked him out. It was legal
No.
It was on site.
No, they're still there. They're still there.
You were allowed to legally murder a Mormon until like the 60s,
70s,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, and we need to bring it back, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. But we do have their Garden of Eden. Jackson County, Missouri is the Mormon Garden of Eden.
Yeah, they say that Jesus came back to God, you know.
He sure did.
Oh, yeah.
He sure did.
And maybe he did.
And he's going to come back, and BYU is going to beat UCF. Now, the next game is Missouri at Bama. Bama minus 13.5. We'll start with you, Bob. On this one here,
Missouri money line,
Bama by 40.
That's what I'm taking. I'm taking Missouri money line.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm. Look, if we have to win and either last week turned the season around with the heroic comeback situation and overcoming all that bullshit, or yeah, we're dead. So I'm going with money line, fucking Missouri. The season stays alive.
What is money line payoff at on my book? You right?
$1 million. Probably.
Is
Brady Cook even available?
Was he alive?
I'm taking.
They're not saying, but he looked. He was like running in the game like last week. Like he was scrambling and oh.
I mean, what did they put into his ankle though at that hospital? Because he went to the hospital. He didn't even go to the locker room. They actually took him in an ambulance to the hospital, and then he came back and played. Whatever they injected him with was great, but can they do it for a full game? Probably not.
I tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't crystals and a fucking darkness retreat.
No.
Because it worked.
So, all right, serious take on this game. Alabama's not looked great this year. They don't have a great defense. 13.5 is a lot of fucking points, man. And I always talk about the ticket prices for this shit and whether or not the fans are up for it. It's $40 at Bama, which is never happened before. I don't know why. It's, you know, 80
well,
degrees.
Even Bama fans know they're going to lose this game. That's why.
Do you think that's what it is?
I'm actually,
are they so sick of this team that they're like, fuck off?
I mean, I don't know about all that, but they're definitely on their heels. Like, Bama as a team is on their heels right now. Right? And Missouri's leaning forward.
I'm not seeing this game. I need to check again because I can't find this game on my bookie. Like, I see the odds on the ESPN page.
It might be because of your quarterback. They might have pulled it off the board. So I would definitely check because of that. They'll pull games if the quarterback is undecided. Because let's face it, if Cook doesn't play, Bama by 90. Yeah. Like, there's just no way.
I agree with that.
So he's got to play. The thing I like about him is he's tough as fuck. He's been wildly inconsistent this year, but that you can't question this kid's heart. I think he'll be out there.
Okay, I found it. Missouri's money line plus 390.
4-1. 4-1 odds. That is juicy, Bob. I don't touch that, obviously.
Yeah, I'm taking it. I'm balls deep on that one.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
13.5. God, this is where the spread should
here,
be.
Here's what I'm betting on. I'm betting on that a guy just got tagged pretty good, and the other guy is headhunting, looking to knock him out right now. Missouri's got knockout on their mind, and Alabama's got survival on theirs. And Missouri's going to win this game.
I've got Bama minus 13.5. Delco?
Oh, dude, Bama by 40. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
It's going to be biblical.
You're only saying, I can tell from the tone of your voice that you're only saying that to piss Bob off.
I would never.
Which is
do
funny,
that.
And I support that. I'm just saying that's why you're doing
but
it.
But do you really, like, because the audience will bet on this. Do you really believe they'll win this?
Not by 40.
No, I actually think Bama's going to kick the shit out of them. Like, they'll probably win by 3 scores.
He always says it.
I just don't know.
Has Missouri impressed you? Ever?
Yeah. And what can you do to this ankle versus Bama for an entire game.
I'm telling you, they're going to come out with their fire under their ass. Bama's going to roll like they did against Georgia, but Missouri doesn't have the firepower to come back.
Bama couldn't come out with fire under their ass against Tennessee or South Carolina or Vanderbilt.
They're going to do it against Missouri.
Yeah. Winning this game, baby.
Missouri has no offense.
This is a must-win for Bama, though, too. Like, this
is a must-win, period, for both teams.
One of these teams is out if they lose this game. So that's – it's going to be a fucking – yeah. It's Bama, 13.5.
I actually think the next one is more interesting, and not because
– I do, too. And I love all these games, but that's how crazy this year is.
Texas at Vanderbilt. The reason that I find, aside from just Vanderbilt playing really well this season, which they have played really well both at home and on the road for some, I don't know what the fuck's going on there.
I do behind the scenes.
Put some respect on that Missouri win over Vandy all of a sudden.
Yeah. By the way,
Don't pull your bullshit back in this. We're moved on from that. All right.
Yeah. I mean, if they lose by 40, Bob, they're.
Yeah. No, but the thing that is concerning for me about this, Texas will, you know, you think, yeah, they're probably going to rebound, blah, blah, blah. What damage did Sark do to that locker room?
And
what a fucking weird thing to do for no fucking reason.
And the other part about this is, I don't know if you guys heard this story yet or not. They're investigating it now, but someone hacked into 24/7 Sports and posted yesterday all day that Quinn Ewers was sitting out the rest of the season and getting ready for the NFL draft. Now, this caused a fucking shitstorm here in Texas. He had to make a statement. Sark had to make a statement. Everybody had to make a statement. They're owned by Paramount, I guess. They're investigating the hacking and the FBI and all this other shit because it fucked up the line for a little bit. Mm. Nobody knew what was going to happen. This is Texas minus 18.5. Give me Vandy plus the points.
I don't think you can trust it, man. I think there's a disturbance in the force in Texas. And I don't mean their season's fucked or over or anything like that, but sorry, you got to repair that.
You got to repair it, yes.
Now.
They're a house on fire. Now. You got Pavia and the boys. I mean, he's a dog.
He fucking is, dude. He's doing all of it this year. He's running every single down. I don't even know if they have a running back. It is literally him against whoever team they're playing.
He's at 118 carries this season.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
dude.
He's on pace for nearly 300 carries as a quarterback in college football.
But it's not like designed shit. It's him just being like, gotta go.
For his fucking life. Yeah.
It's like Johnny Manziel in a good way.
He's not trying to Dylan Raiola and be like, oh, he's like Pat Mahomes. But it is very similar to like the Mahomes sort of scramble where it's just like, I'm going. I see it. I'm going.
He's only got one pick the entire season, and they've played great teams this year.
He sees the field well, which is a benefit for them. The problem for Vanderbilt, obviously, is you got a single point of failure, right? Like Texas obviously doesn't have that problem. They can lose multiple dudes. They lost their starting running back. They're still top five in the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they've got two legit starting quarterbacks. Vandy, this guy gets banged up or goes down, they're fucked. But just let's just say for the sake of argument, he stays healthy this whole game. 18.5 is too much.
Let me ask you this, guys. If Vandy actually wins this game, is Texas out then?
Yes.
No. I think two loss SEC, big brand, you can still get in.
Here's my problem with that. I don't know that they're escaping the season without another loss.
You're still looking at
A&M and at Arkansas.
Arkansas is a hard place to play.
Arkansas is dead.
Arkansas is not dead. They will fuck somebody.
They've already fucked somebody this year, but they didn't show up last week.
Arkansas is dead.
But this Vandy game, my God, dude, this couldn't happen at a worse time for a team that's really fucking trying to prove themselves in Vanderbilt. And then you've got the quarterback controversy and all that other shit. Like, man, that move by Sark to put in Arch just fucked it all up, man. You had a kid who was going top 10 in the draft, and you pulled him.
Texas is not going to lose this game, though.
I mean, what does that do to his confidence? Like you're even in college, your quarterback is the field general, right? He's in charge, and the dudes need to respect him. You can't do this shit.
So there's two quarterbacks I can think of in the last 5 years that this happened to. Jalen Milroe last year, they pulled him against South Florida and then let some other kid play.
Jalen Hurts.
And then Jalen Hurts got pulled. And then C.J. Stroud got pulled as well. Mm. So it's happened, and those three came back better. And hopefully Ewers will do the same here.
I mean, it was just
the ship.
It was the way he did it. If you wait until like midway through the fourth quarter and pull something like that, I don't fucking have a problem with that, right?
Yeah,
you're not performing.
Neither.
It's game time, but in the way that it was done is so odd.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it that early in a game before.
Me neither.
And how does that affect, it's not going to be an issue for like next year or maybe the year after, but like how does that affect, like if you're a QB recruit looking at Texas and Sark's got an itchy trigger finger?
Yeah. Well, the other part about this is, guys, is Ewers now a top 10 quarterback in the NFL draft?
I don't.
A lot of people are saying no after
last
week.
A top 10 draft pick? Fuck
yes.
No.
He was no. The entire year, guys.
He should never have been, though, frankly, right? Like, there isn't a quarterback in college football that should be a top 10 pick this year. Like, no. Which one of these guys do you think who's an upperclassman whose game translates well to the NFL that's also performed well? Like, there's
Cam Ward, I would take.
Not in the top 10.
I would take Cam Ward, personally.
Too many moving pieces for him to be successful at the NFL level. I wouldn't take him top 10. I would take him in the second round, probably. Right?
He'll go in the first.
The problem,
he'll go top 10.
I think there's going to be an adjustment in college football with drafting quarterbacks. There has to be because of the economics of the game. Like, you draft in the top 13, you got to pay them all that money, right? Mm-hmm. And then that also kicks up the amount that they're eligible for in their fifth year, right? The rookie extension or whatever the fuck. Which drives your cap costs off, and then you know after that year, you've either got to franchise that dick, or you got to fucking, which is, by the way, $60 million now to franchise a quarterback, or you got to pay him a long-term deal. I think that NFL teams need to start treating the quarterback position the same way they treat the running back position, to some degree. Obviously, you're not going to completely do away with it, and having a quarterback there on your team for a long time is a good thing, but the economics of football are different now. Man, you can't be paying dude $65 million a year to be your quarterback.
Well, here's where I'm going with this. So let's say he struggles, Ewers struggles against Vandy, and maybe struggles against A&M at the end of the year, and he's no longer a first round pick. Obviously, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and those guys will have their big board out and everything else, and he moves to the second, potentially the third round if he struggles the rest of the year. He still has 1 year of eligibility left. You cannot sit Arch one more year. That will not fucking fly. Does Ewers go to like an Oregon? Because that's what they're doing up there, is just dropping in a veteran quarterback every year.
He'll go to the draft. Some idiot will take him.
I'm
sure that's what Will Levis thought too, though.
Or do like the pettiest thing possible, go to Oklahoma.
It'd be fun. It'd be a fun story. It'd be a fun origin story.
Go to fucking A&M.
Oh man.
Be a dick, dude. Like, really get after it, you know?
So we'll see. If he has a fucking awesome game this week and they win and they beat the spread and everything else, all will be right in the world again, I'm sure, in Texas. But if he doesn't, watch out for it. But give me the 18.5 there. I'll take that and maybe sprinkle the money line like I did against Bama, dude. It worked last time I did it. Next up, shit, dude. Florida State at Miami. This used to be one of the biggest rivalries of all time.
I think it will be again at some point, probably. I do too. Just because Miami's kind of on the upswing and Florida State is a big enough brand that they'll get through whatever they're going through now, but this game is fucking retarded.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, maybe take the over at 54.5 because Miami might score 60 in this game.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stat padding game for Cam Ward. He's going to go fucking off in this game.
Met with Florida State last week, and they said big changes are coming next year. I think this is a blip this year. It's a freak year for Florida State. Miami, though, they always get up for it. Give me Florida State plus the points in this one.
Hell no.
You could redeem the entire season if you just upset the apple cart.
Sure can.
That would be funny.
You
now
sure
the other question is, what does do ACC fucking refs allow that to happen?
Probably not, but I think.
But
Florida,
at 21,
State,
there's enough margin of error that they could beat the spread.
And for this rivalry, Florida State can redeem their fan base and everything else just by winning this one fucking game.
Yeah.
So give me the points for Florida State this week. I know they suck. I called that from pre-prediction show with Ukulele. What happens to that fucking guy next year?
Probably the Heisman.
Transfer another. Yeah. Oh my God.
Probably the Heisman. Yeah.
He's holding it. He'll be wearing the white gloves, handing it to somebody.
At least
on
I picked
stage.
Oregon to win the
Natty. He might work for New York, the Heisman show itself. He might be a grip or a line producer, or he might be G&E or something. Next up, Penn State at Wisconsin. This is Penn State -6.5. D'Anthony, who you got?
Yeah. I mean, usually anything over 3.5, I wouldn't give Penn State. But Wisconsin sucks. They're really bad. Anytime they've played an even competent team, they're getting blown out. So,
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, I still think Franklin is a turd. I hate him.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
They're number three in the nation. And it's like, dude, how do you fire a team that's always top 10 in the nation?
Can't. Defense is great. I mean, the smart move would be to find a Chip Kelly floating around somewhere and bring him in as your OC and let him manage that part of the game, because Franklin obviously is not good at it. I mean, he punched above his weight for some years because we had great fucking running backs. You know what I mean? But now it's like, good God, get somebody that knows offense in there. We can't get offensive talent or execution. You got to get something.
Good
some
offense
point.
Under Tris McSorley back in the day.
Yeah, McSorley was okay, but well, it was still B tier. You know what I mean?
He was fun. You know, it wasn't the greatest, but give me Penn State in this one, and then hopefully they're not looking past this game because Ohio State is the week after. But 6.5, they win by a touchdown. Easy, I think.
Camp
so
Randall can be a difficult place to play sometimes this year, though. I don't think it will be. And
at night, the only thing to watch out for is there is rain in the forecast, but I still think that helps Penn State's defense. Yeah. So fuck it.
Yeah.
Next up, God damn, another great game, dude. LSU at Texas A&M. Texas A&M -2.5 in the night game, dude. This is going to be like quad boxes on YouTube TV, just fucking wall to wall all day long. My God, these are just bangers, dude. Who do you got in this one?
You know, I don't. I think A&M. I think they got really fortunate against Missouri. To be honest, I don't. I think that is the blip on their schedule, right? And I don't think they're going to beat LSU. I think LSU will win this game.
Okay. I'm going to take A&M because it's at A&M at night. Ironically, we're sponsoring a party there. Did you know that? I just sent that flag in. It just arrived. We're sponsoring a party there. They're fucking juiced to go to this game. Last row in this stadium is going for $250 there. Like, they are juiced off. That Texas game, by the way, at the end of the year, tickets are going for $1,500 a piece. I've never seen a fucking regular season that high. That is national championship level like tickets. They are fucking amped. It is going to be loud. And give me A&M, dude. They're on a little bit of a fucking run here. They feel like they're back. The fans feel like they're back. I think the spread is exactly where it should be. I think this is a field goal game. And I think A&M ends up pulling it out somehow at the end. And I'll get you boys that flag here as soon as the show ends. Next up, got Kansas at Kansas State. This is Kansas State -10 at home. Rivalry game. Who do you got?
Kansas is pretty bad this year, right?
Yeah, they're 2-5.
Smash K-State. It's a rivalry game. They fucking hate Kansas. Kleiman usually does really fucking well against Kansas. Smash K-State.
Yep, I agree. I'm going to knock this down 0.5 because I always do at 9.5, but I'm all in on Kansas State. You?
I'll probably take that. Avery Johnson is pretty good.
Yeah. Last game of the evening.
Actually, you know
here.
What? You know what I will do? Actually, I'm going to look and see what Kelly from Vegas is betting and do the opposite of that. She's got the worst record on K-State bets of all time.
She loves K-State?
Yeah,
she
course. K-State? If you just bet against whatever she does, usually you'll do well. So I might do that. We'll see.
Last but not least.
Game of the week.
Yes.
2-6-1 powerhouses.
Smoo. It's this SMU team that I want to never hear about the rest of my life against Duke at Duke. This is SMU -11.5. Who you got?
I don't care, man. This isn't real.
Duke money line.
This motherfucker is not real.
Duke money line. This bullshit ends this week. It's over. I don't want to hear about SMU.
That's not going to happen.
I don't love the line, actually, but
Duke money line.
How much money are you trying to lose this weekend?
Ponies stay gold.
I'm looking at their let's look at the ponies staying gold here. Okay. They lost to BYU 18-15.
Yes, they lost a tight game to an undefeated team.
Right. An undefeated team that is so good, Bob, that they're a pick'em against a dog shit 3-4 UCF team.
Not dog shit. It's just a matchup, you know. Who knows?
Is it a 3-4 team with on a pick'em game?
Dog, you're not smarter than Vegas.
You throw the records out when it comes to a rivalry like UCF BYU.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, of course. Is that a rivalry?
Yeah, I remember growing up watching UCF and BYU on Saturdays.
First game of the year, SMU against Nevada. Remember they had to come back and win that one? Barely pulled it out by
Nevada's
5 points.
Actually feisty.
You know who else won by a score against a dog shit team week one?
Who?
Oregon against Idaho at home.
Idaho is tricky, guys. They're all – dude. It's all fucking bullshit, dude.
There's no way that SMU is losing this game. I don't know if they'll cover or not, but they're not losing.
They're losing this game. Duke money line all day long, dude.
You're going to get your wish next week because SMU plays Pitt.
Yeah, so one of us will lose.
I think you got to get a Christian Laettner lower back tattoo if Duke loses this game.
I wanted actually Laettner on your lower thigh shooting his famous shot into your asshole.
Yeah, and then Grant Hill is standing by for the rebound.
I'm not doing two tattoo bets in one year, guys, for SMU, for Christ's sake.
Like, the Broncos play the fucking Panthers. They're going to be halfway to the tattoo this weekend.
I know. Isn't that fucked? And then Bo Nix has better stats than Pat Mahomes this year. I'm getting just destroyed in fantasy football because Patrick Mahomes is scoring less. He's scoring half the points of my kicker, and I'm not kidding. I've got Cameron Dicker. I got Dicker the kicker. He had 22 in the game. Mahomes had 12. I'm getting fucking destroyed because of it. Yeah, I've got Duke, and then the Pitt game next week. That'll be fun because at least this is finally over for one of these teams, and we never have to hear about them again. Then they got Boston College.
Oh, you will hear because one of those teams is going to win that game. And that's going to be the champion.
No.
Of something.
Pitt and SMU are both losing this week.
No, they're going to.
They're
both going to win this week, and one of them's going to win against the other next week, and that's going to be the champion of something.
No.
Of that game, maybe. Nope. Maybe it'll only be that game.
No, they both lose this week.
You'll never hear the end of it.
And then,
that's not going to happen. I'm telling you, just this, statistically speaking,
we're just gonna
one of them's going to be puttering around the whole rest of this season.
Both are losing. The table. That's going to be a fucking parlay for me.
Pitt's knocking off Clemson.
They're both losing. They're both losing this week, and they're out. And then they can go to the top 20, outside the top 25 show, and just get out of this one.
That would be really funny if fucking Pitt beat Clemson.
Is that Pitt?
Oh,
I mean, I don't think that really matters that much. But
if it came down to it, right? Let's say Pitt was able to sneak into the ACC championship. I would actually root for Pitt because Clemson fans would have a fucking meltdown, and that would be hilarious.
If Pitt goes to the ACC championship game, it will be at the expense of Clemson.
Yeah, it'll be Clemson. Pitt, Miami, probably.
Yeah.
Either way. Either way. But I'm going to do, I'd say what? We always say subscribe to Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. Subscribe this week. If you're not in there, I'm going to do a parlay of Syracuse and Duke to knock out these fucking teams this week.
That's the most boring parlay in the history of fucking sports. Buddy.
No. And I agree with you here. It's just for these two. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Anti-Booth boy.
This is the fucking Libby boys special this week. This is Libs patty melt plate. I am all in on Syracuse and Duke this week.
All them Libs and SMU.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's fucking go, dude. Either way, guys, we weren't kidding before we started the show. This is one of the greatest weekends in college football. Enjoy it. I sure the fuck am. Enjoy it even more at mybookie.com. Bet with us or against us over there. Make sure to use that promo code Drinking Bros to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify, just a 5-star, and you can walk away. We'll be live on Drinking Bros Podcast on Patreon for Drinking Bros here in less than 10 minutes. Subscribe if you're not on Patreon, because every show will be on there this week. We are banned from the YouTube channel. For Danny Danley Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is College Football Week 9 Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.